Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, it is not about the job. It is about bigger things. Take our biblical example, Joseph. Temptation, Mrs. Potiphar said, lie with me. According to, I heard somebody refer to Josephus, that Josephus said that Joseph was so handsome that Mrs. Potiphar would gather her friends and they would be staring at the guy walking up and down. Look, you know, these things are spiritual. Mrs. Potiphar, you know, have you heard this gist around? Say, someone is an agent. Yeah, this guy is an agent. Mrs. Potiphar was an agent. Most agents don't know they are agents. I don't know whether you get my point. Listen, the person who says, I'm a witch, don't be afraid of that one. That is the one that can't do you anything. The one that really can do you something is the agent that is a friend and goes to church and speaks in other tongues. The one that says, I'm a witch, I will show you. Hey, you see the person dancing and sacrificing at your gate. Just feel sorry for that one. There's nothing that one can do. If you sacrifice goats there, just wait for the sacrifice to end. Collect the goat, skin it, cut it, put it in your freezer. You don't have to eat it in one day. It won't spoil. Don't worry, it's not my goat. There's no spirit in it. Believe me, there's no spirit in the goat. If you sacrifice fowl, just wait, may it finish. Collect the fowl, cook it well, and eat it. Then, look, there is nothing inside. Those ones are the... Those are the safe witches. The real agent is a friend. Who was the Satan in Jesus' life? Peter, thank you very much. It was Peter. That was the person that said, sir, you must never fulfill the purpose of God for your life. No, those are his words. You know, I modified it a bit. Jesus said, this was what happened. I will be beaten, I will be arrested, then I will be killed, and then for the salvation of mankind, that's what he was saying in effect. And Peter said, impossible. Nothing like that must happen to you. Oga, we must resist it. We must resist it. And he looked and said, hey, get behind me, Satan. The real Satan is a friend. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Now, there's something I'm trying to say here. So you see, it is not about that job. It's not about that day. It's about something that is bigger. So for Joseph, Mrs. Potiphar was an agent. Even she did not know. Do you get my point? Her brother, his brothers were not the problem. Is this woman that really likes him? That one is the problem. And you see, Joseph was, and that's something, if you read that book, which I'm sure only those who don't like me haven't read it, if they have been hearing me saying this again and again, that's great faith can be yours. In that book, I explained a number of principles. For example, I explained that Naomi, what's her name? Ruth. Ruth was blessed for her faith. But actually, Ruth did not care about the God of Naomi. She cared about the Naomi of the God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If Naomi was going home to bow to an idol, Ruth will have followed her. And that is why love is the greatest of them all. Because somebody walking in true love, God will lead the person in the right direction. The concern that Naomi had, and Ruth had, was for Naomi and her welfare. And she was willing to sacrifice her own life for Naomi. God said, this one has not loved her life, even unto death. Therefore, he led her in the path of righteousness for his own namesake. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm talking about Joseph. Joseph didn't know what we now know about him. Of course, it hadn't happened. Nobody had recorded about him, about the things happening. And he said he had a dream. Listen. Listen. He said, keep your dream before you. Joseph did not know the meaning of the dream. He wasn't keeping any dream before him. Do you follow what I'm saying? Joseph dreamt a dream. And the dream died the day they threw him into the pit. He forgot the dream. Don't think he remembered. He didn't. But there was a power of righteousness that was with him. He realized that Mr. Potiphar or Chief Potiphar, General Potiphar, whatever it was, trusted him so much. And his father had taught him about what is right and what is not right. He put those things, two things together and said, I cannot do this and sin against God. But this is what I'm coming to. The temptation, I said, Miss Potiphar was an agent. Is that okay? The temptation was not about sleep with me or don't. It's not about becoming more powerful in the house of Potiphar. She probably thought like that. He thought like that. But the truth was that the temptation was about preserving the whole of Egypt. But more importantly, the promise of God that was supposed to come to pass through the lineage of his father. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen. God allowed him enough understanding to withstand this temptation because of what he had taught him about faithfulness and thou shalt not commit adultery. All right? He understood enough about that. But I'm bringing out an issue. This is the main thing. The real temptation was not about that one. It was about the preservation of the nation of Israel. Do you get my point? Now, let me come back home now. So you see that you start out in business. Listen, the issue about getting involved in bribery and corruption, kickback, forward, there, not all those things, is not about whether you have money now to buy a car, pay a fee, do this for your father, do this for your uncle who was so nice to you. That's not the temptation. The temptation is that if power will stop failing, we need you. And Satan says, why should power not fail? Let us make this Joseph rich. Give him 10 billion naira. He will stop worrying about power failing. And listen to me. I've explained this one before. There is no manifestation of blessing or curses that does not involve the proper arrangement of divine matter, spiritual matter. That is, there are people around in Nigeria that will have made sure that power does not fail as at now. But Satan has bought them. Bought them long ago. They are there. They are driving home up and down. They are there in town. They live in the biggest houses. They are all around. You may not know. But Satan said, this one, guys, do you know why your power is failing? This guy was appointed by God to ensure it doesn't fail. I gave him one Land Cruiser, two houses in the Venice layout, one in Abuja, two in Victoria Island, and he forgot the idea. Do you get what I'm trying to say? No, that's the way it happens all the time. You know, I've been explaining the principle. So that before God can bring forth something new, the first thing he does is to bring forth what? A new generation. Now, talking about that spirit of corruption as an example, using this hypothetical man that will have solved the problem of NEPA, all right? Let's use him as our example. Ephesians chapter 2. We read that he said, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So there is a spirit that is working, and that man bought into it. It's called the spirit of corruption. It's called the spirit of vainglory. And God says, if I want to bless people, that's what I'm saying again and again, there must be a new generation. And let me say another thing. God does not take away the old generation until there's a new one to replace them with. He doesn't. You know what he told them? He said the land will become fallow and will become overgrown with bush and with wild animals. Therefore, I will not take them out from before you in one day. He said, but as you increase, I will drive them out. Are you getting my point? God does not remove the first until he is ready to establish the second. And why do I preach? Why do people like me shout? He says, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. I'm explaining something. You see, one of the things that for me has been most important that I have been preaching is for believers to realize it's not about them. Do you hear what I said? That is, if you come on and say, Pastor, I have a testimony. Praise God, though. You know, last week, they said we should sow a special seed of 1,000 naira, and today, I got 100,000 naira. I will thank you very much, and I will forget your testimony as soon as you finish sharing it. Look, it's not a testimony. That one is smarting. Tell your neighbor, na smarting. Really, na real smarting. Pastor, you know, I just thank God right now. You know, after I operated all those principles, amen,
Right now I drive a Jeep.
I will thank God for your life. And in my mind, I'll say, nah, small thing. Nah, small thing. He said, all other things shall be added unto you. Oh, but he said, as I was giving that offering, I was picturing in my heart my Jeep. And I just knew that one day is going to come. Believe me sincerely, you have been deceived. It is the wrongest way for a Christian to give. It's the foolishest motive for a believer. Look, I don't care what the testimony you have heard. In fact, the testimonies are confirmations that it's foolishness. After all, the testimony is hardly more than what I got. After I gave this, believe me, then I got this. Look at it now. Am I not getting richer? I know you have missed the point. What believers are supposed to know, all right, is that he said he multiplies your seed for sowing. Did you hear that? This testimony I enjoy, sir. You know, last year, I was only able to give 1,000 naira. But this year, sir, I have been able to give 10,000. Then that's a testimony. Take a microphone and share it. That's where I sit. Say, sir, you know, last year, I had problems even for me to pay my fees. People had to help me. But do you know that this year, sir, I have helped 6 people? That is a testimony. Do you follow my point? He said, last year, I remember one brother told me, he said, the first time, can you remember the first time I gave you an offering? That's for this work of the ministry. I said, I really can't remember. He said, what happened was that I brought tracts and I shared tracts out to them. He was a poor student. And what came to his mind is that this thing must have cost money. And from the things I hear this guy saying, apparently he's paying by himself. So he took 1,000 naira, which was a lot of money for him, and he gave 1,000 naira. Now, are you getting my point? Now, why was he saying that one day we're discussing? Because by that time, when he wants to give money offering to ministry, it's 1,000,000 naira. Do you get the point I'm making? He said, remember the first time it was 1,000. That is, God has multiplied my seed for what? For sowing. Praise God. And I have a job. No, it's very good. But like I always say, not small thing. God can give you a job anytime. Anytime. That one is small thing. Real testimony is, one, maybe I'm not have a job. That's good. But that before I began to work here, my boss couldn't do this, and that. But since I moved in, this is what we have been able to do. That's a testimony. Do you get what I'm saying? That before I was looking for a job, may not be much, but sir, do you know right now I have 3 employees? That's a testimony. Do you get the point I'm making? Those are testimonies. And I thank God that has been helping me to let people understand, because I've discovered something. Once God can take your eyes off you, you are an instant success. I said something last Saturday here. I also preached in church on Wednesday. I said, forget, there's no believer that is held down by any ancestral curse or anything. There's none. The thing that holds them down is their unregenerated mind. That they are still walking according to the order of the prince of the power of the air and of the spirit that is now walking in the sons of disobedience. That's what holds them back. It's not any ancestral nonsense. Nothing. That is it. When they wake up in the morning, when their focus is still what I can... Look, listen, do you know the reason why Nigeria has been punished till now? And one thing I noticed, when you see a good land occupied by wicked people, there is a people of promise coming after. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. This is a blessed nation. Extremely blessed. You know, I sat down the other day and I was watching the flood. I think either in the Netherlands or in Germany. My wife will look and say, is that a car? I say, yes. A tornado carried a car, flung it into the air and dropped on somebody's roof. I said, this is what they really call calamity. What are we saying? Nothing. The earth here, not even the tremor itself. How much more quick? Volcanoes refuse to erupt. All of them are quiet. On top of that, like they say in NT, scratch ground small, you could just begin drill oil like this. Anytime you're driving, when I'm going to work, I look at the hill that has been cut, that's making the road, this Port Harcourt Road, and you see that literally Enugu sits on coal. Literally. The foundation of this town is what? Coal. It's a blessed land. But why have they not manifested any blessing? It's called the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of greed, selfishness, that works in the sons of disobedience. That's the problem. My message today, please, is that, you know, I said that I'm happy that God has helped me over time to teach believers that it's not about you. I said something to you the other day. I said, if God, with all the faith I have in God, that he will bless me and all of that, and with all the faith I have in God, expecting blessing from his hand, if God called me one day and said, Pastor Banky, come, I say, yes, sir, at your service, nationwide. You know what? The biggest car I'll ever give you to drive is a 1977 model Beetle. And he said, your house, you know, go pass, big past this two-bedroom flat. And he says everything. He said, but when I'm through with doing some of these things, as for your first son, birthday present that he will be giving people, it will be small, small private jet. Now listen, that this is your son, this one, he single-handedly will employ 100,000 people and pay them juicy salaries. That only him will transform maybe transportation in Nigeria, land, rail, that's rail, air, ship, everything. Sir, that's just one. This second one, the inventions I will bring from his head, Nigerians will be paying 1,000 naira a month for power, and it will never fail. He said, the inventions I'll bring from his head, listen, no. That they will complete a beautiful duplex and they won't have spent more than 1.5 million in this country. And he continues like that, saying what he would do to my children. Those are natural. What about those who listen to you preach? And he said, all I'm asking for you is just make sure you don't desire more than a beetle in your life. I said, okay, in fact, that beetle, take it. I'm sure, I'll say, God, in fact, that beetle, take it. When I want to go somewhere, I go ask for a lift. Don't worry. In the house, do we really need the house? Just because of these children safe. Otherwise, we don't need the house. We can just make a hut somewhere. We'll go to one village nearby, and one hut, and stay there. Because after all, what we want to do is to affect this generation like this. And you are saying, if I go through this, what will happen? God, then I'm ready to take anything. No, believe me, anything. Hunger, add it. I don't mind. And that's what the Bible calls for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross and despised the shame. The problem we have, which makes us part of the old generation, despite the fact that we are believers, is because we actually take thought for the morrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. Therefore, you know, there's something I said that last time, but as I described the meaning of the word spirit. That spirit tries to enter into people so as to control them. This man, Derek Prince, he preached a message I listened to many, many years ago. I listened to that message in 1991, 92, I remember. It was a series on deliverance and demonology. I'm not saying everything he preached in that series, I understand or fully agree, but there was one particular one. There was a 6-tape series or 8-tape series. One of them was titled Satan's Traps. What did I call it? Satan's Traps. And what he was saying is, now I want to apply what he said. It's also scriptural, all right? But I want to apply it in a particular way, okay? Now, please, just follow me. Now, what he was explaining actually is that Satan uses little things that people do, all right, to enter into their lives. Like, in that particular message, he was specifically talking about occultic practices like reading the palms, you know, palm reading horoscopes and stuff like that. That those are the ways by which Satan enters into the lives of people. And I know to be true, you know, palm reading, you know, stuff like that, you know. By newspaper, first place you go is, what's your star? People ask me sometimes, what's your star? Very few people have been silly enough to ask me that kind of question in recent years. But I've had people ask me before, those days, what's your star? and said, his name is Jesus Christ. Have any other question? No, you know what I mean. I don't know what you mean. What you mean? There is a bright morning star whose name is Jesus Christ. He's called the Son of Righteousness, who arises with healings in his wings, and he arises upon me. That's my star. What's your problem? You have any other problem? If I want to start out, then when I say, okay, when were you born? None of your business. I was born the day the Lord decided. Leave me alone. Because, I don't have any star. I don't. What I have, all right, is that I'm a child of God, all right? My purpose in life was predetermined. God has ordained me to achieve some things in his life, in this life, and that I will most certainly achieve. I don't have any star beyond that. Believe me. So the prince was explaining that people open room to the devil doing things like that. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about actually, and which I explained in that book, Choices, Key to Destiny, is that you see that there are little things that we indulge in life, all right, that opens doors for bigger devils. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Explain. I'm coming to something. When Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and wherewithal shall you be clothed? You know, I said before that God doesn't give advice. What does he give? Commands, instructions. You disobey to your own peril. And that's the thing I want to make. Those instructions that God gives, they are the best lines of action under those circumstances. If he says, take no thought for the morrow, actually he's sparing you a lot of trouble. I don't know whether you're getting my point. When God says, don't do this, it's because he knows that that is how Satan's enter the hearts of people. Do you get my point? Listen, worry. When I say worry, now let's define the word mammon for a moment. When we use the word mammon, mammon is not covetousness. There's a world of difference. Mammon is what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed? I'm trying to say something to you here. As a child of God, there are statements that must never cross your heart. Not even talking about falling down from your mouth. You must never, it's a law, you must never be afraid of tomorrow. You must never be afraid of poverty. You must never be afraid of what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. If you are, listen, this is what happens. The spirit, all right, the prince of the power of the air will send his spirit into your life. You know, I said something last week, I didn't develop it enough. I said people pray against witches. They don't sleep at night because of occultists who are not sleeping. They don't understand that the real spirit that is a problem is their personal friend. They sleep with their friend. You don't know. Now, wow. This country, you know, is usually, in fact, I just don't know. I'm just troubled. I don't know what is going to happen. Then, you know, they are worried silly. Because of worry, Satan pushes something into their life and begins to control them from afar. Let me take this story to give you as an example, because it works with unbelievers, it works with Christians like this. Works with believers. I've used it before, actually, as an illustration. I finished my U7 in 1993, all right? Served in one military barracks somewhere in Taraba State. I met one copper there, not a believer, that is also a doctor, all right? Let me cut the long story short. All the abortions that needed to be done in the barracks then, he did them. We were just two doctors, me and him. I met him, was there before me. I remember one soldier came to my house. We were staying in the sergeant's quarters, so he was just this thing. He said, doc, don't worry. Once this guy goes, he will make money in this place. I said, what do you mean? He said, right now, all the DNC, I need to do him that. Once he goes, I know everybody now. I will arrange him for you. Look at him like, what are you talking about? I remember one guy saw me one day. He said, doc, he needs to see me. He was in Syria, was living somewhere in the village. But when he had some contracts around there, he said, I beg you, issue day. I said, what do you mean issue day? He said, he didn't give one girl belly and her father mustn't know. So what's the problem? What do you mean, what's the problem? I should help him now. What do you want to do? Okay, I do antenatal care. There's no problem with that. Doc. I said, come. You know, let me tell you the easiest way to resist temptation. Say it ahead of time. Listen, my friend, you know I'm a Christian. You know, it's against, say it in a blunt, blunt and very crude way. It's against my religion. If I do it, I may die and go to hell. Just say it like that. Okay, you are my friend. Do you want me to die and go to hell? So what do you mean? Do you want me to die and go to hell? You know, if I do it now, I'll just die and go to hell. And the lake burns with fire and brimstone. And the worm does not die. You see? Believe me, they will leave you alone. It works all the time. It works for me, Sha. It works. So that I told the guy simply, he looked at me. See, what am I saying? That's what I'm saying. Oh, because the other guy left that time. No, I said, boy, sorry, I don't want to die and go to hell. Bye bye. Now, I'm bringing out something. That's actually the main story. The main story is about the other fellow. He was a Catholic, devout, I don't know whether it was devout Catholic, but all I know is that this is a principle. One day he and I talked. He said that, do you know that as a house officer, now listen to this. These days, in all honesty, people tell me that the country is getting worse. Believe me, it's a lie. These days, at least in my profession, doctors are 10 times better paid now than they were then. And please, people, when I say something, those who don't, who are too small to understand, will tell you that Naira had more value then. Don't say that if you don't know what you are saying. When I started residency, dollar was 70 Naira. How much is it now? 117. And my salary was 5,500 Naira a month. So let's not, that dollar settles it. I'm not joking. I worked in Loose. If you want, we can dig up my old pay slips. Go to Afribank. They will dig up my account record. You will see it. House officers earn almost 20 times that now. They don't. Do you know what I mean? And dollar is only 117 naira. There was 17 naira to a dollar. When dollar was about was it about 2 to 4 naira to a dollar? That's when I did house job. And our salary was maybe like 400, 500, 700 naira a month when it's good. You know, that kind of thing. Cut the long story short, it's not now that house officers drive cars. Then we didn't have televisions. We couldn't buy TVs. I'm not talking about we don't have TVs. We couldn't buy them. The best things we bought when we had plenty of money, I still remember, we bought shoes and wristwatches. It was a sign that they just paid one arrears. The boy will buy a new shirt. This is if they pay arrears, the guys go and buy the latest Sony equipment. Those days, no, shit, that's it, all right? Now, the reason I'm telling you that, this guy was a year my senior, so you can understand the poverty in which he did house job. Now, he said then, a lot of houses, that's how they, you know, get money, all kinds of unscrupulous practices. One of them, termination of pregnancies, okay? Which you always have enough clients, that will not be a hassle. He said then when he was doing house job, listen, he did not even... Listen to this. Not only did he not do it, he did not, like, he said because he just felt that whether he does it or not, these young girls will go and get it done somewhere. And to save their lives, he will refer them to his colleagues that he knew did it. And those ones will come and say, we saw the customer you sent. Here is your cut of the business. He said he didn't even take the money. That's the amount of conviction he had. The following year, all the conviction had died. And he was gathering money, saving it up hard through this procedure. Why? That's what I'm talking about. One day I heard him talk, we're discussing. He said, the thing I fear most in life is poverty. Do you follow the point I'm making? That's how doors are opened. Get my point. That's how doors are opened. Let me tell you something. I believe in God. I believe in prosperity. I believe in the blessings of God. I believe all those things. But one thing I have said to God in previous times is that if it is trekking that is necessary to enter eternal life, may I not drive a car? Having preached and believed prosperity, I think make the bold to make that statement. And if as a Christian you haven't made such a statement, you know, you are a big target to be shot down with temptation. You should look in front of the mirror and say, God, if pleasing you means I won't have food to eat, may I die of hunger? Interesting thing about God is that you will see food to eat. Don't worry. But he will tempt you with hunger along the line. But it's so important that you don't put any emphasis on God. If you, you know, that's why it hurts my soul every time people say, you know, when you need something, you give to God. I like to tell people who listen to me again and again, it is a lie. I don't know any other way to explain it. Nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your hand. Fine. But you can never make something leave God's hands because something, and by giving something out of your hand, it doesn't work. You have not. Why? Because you ask not. I understand. I'm not talking about that now. I understand that a man who is not generous and who is not a cheerful giver, are you getting me? Does not have faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. But giving to get does not make you a cheerful giver. Do you get the point I'm making? Because it's so important that we are ready to obey God without thinking about the reward, even though he promised a reward. What am I talking about? Satan needs to have a door to enter into the hearts of people. That's why the Bible says we mustn't give room to the devil. And I'm explaining one of the rooms that the devil uses. Fear. What will we eat? What will we drink? Do you know where this country is going? You must wake up in the morning and say, God, I don't know what the future holds, but I know you hold the future. And that my life is in your hands. That my life is hid with Christ in God. That I know that you delight in the prosperity of your servant. So I leave everything to you. Lord, what do you want me to do? Oh, blessed are you who have been disgraced in front of your mates, because you can really, really walk with God. For those who are still trying to impress people, you have a real hard task ahead. I'm telling you. My mates have done this. It's their personal problem. Ah. I told you the way God has helped me. You know, before I used to use Ogboju. Now I don't even use Ogboju anymore. I have something to say now. Your mates have done this. I will show you. I'll just pick one of the books I have written. Show you the titles at the back. How many of my mates have written this? So what my mate is doing doesn't concern me. Your mates are... No, of course, my mother thinks I'm very odd. She can't change her mind now about it. I've been odd for... I think... The one I'm very sure that my oddity had been pronounced for the whole world to see is since I entered university. Say, my ways are very different. And you know, your mates are building houses. I said, that's their personal problem. Pastor Banky is preaching the gospel and is very busy. If it is house, I will live in every kind of house I desire on this earth. If I decide that I want a Buckingham Palace, let me tell you something about God. Just ask. Ask in faith, and one day you will see a Buckingham Palace built right here in Enugu. And the whole world will come and see that there's another palace in Enugu. Say, who says this? Says Pastor Banky. No, really, if that's what I want. I don't want a Buckingham Palace, so I don't have a problem with that. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But that I will say, my mates, that is their problem. I pursue my own purpose. What I'm trying to say is that these are the things we pursue after that allows the spirits or the prince of the power of the air to inject his spirit into our lives. That young man told me, okay, by the time we never talked about it. We knew. He gathered as much money as he could. You know, when I look back now, all the money he gathered with bloody hands for 1 year. I mean, just a few years after, I think about it. I just think about it. We pay Cosmo FM much more than that regularly. Do you follow what I'm saying? Even calculating value for value. We do. I give my landlord more than that every year to stay in his house. I do. You bloody your hand for 1 year. Now, doing what you believe absolutely is not right. I told you before, in life, you walk with spirits. Spirits move you. Satan pushes people. And we know, it's written clearly in black and white in the Bible, that it was Satan that pushed Judas. Right or wrong? Satan pushed him. Do you follow my point? But we also know that the Holy Spirit strengthens people. This pastor I was telling you about the other time, Pastor W.D. Favor. He was here last week and yesterday actually. And we're talking, that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. He told me that, he said, Pastor Banky, I wish we had a good distribution network for Christian literature. He said, this book should be a bestseller.